Can you make someone love you? Imagine a mad scientist created a machine that could make someone else believe, will, and do whatever you wish. If you had such a machine, could you use it to make someone else love you? If you use that machine on someone, would that person love you? No, you couldn't. Why? Because love requires freedom. Even if you had the power to control someone's mind, you could not make them love you. Why? Because love, by nature, cannot be forced or coerced or caused unilaterally by someone else. Love requires free will. The Bible repeatedly indicates that love must be freely given and freely received. Love relationship, then, cannot be brought about by one party alone, no matter how powerful. And the Bible teaches that God is love. Love is thus the highest value and the best good in the universe. Yet God does not compel anyone to love. Why? Because it can't be done. If God could determine that everyone perfectly love all the time, as he commands and prefers, he would do so. But love cannot be forced, coerced, or determined by another. This understanding helps us to address the problem of evil. What is the problem of evil? In brief, it goes like this. If God is all-powerful, he would possess the power to eliminate all evil. If God is entirely good, God would want to do so. Why, then, is there evil, and so much of it, in our world? This is such a big problem that many use it as evidence that God doesn't exist after all. It's the main reason people give for not believing in God. But God granting creatures free will holds the key. I explain this in much more detail in my book, Theodicy of Love, Cosmic Conflict, and the Problem of Evil. Why doesn't God simply make everyone do what he wants all the time? Because if God did, creatures would not possess free will, which is necessary for love. God only wants good things. But evil occurs because creatures will contrary to what God wants. Evil, then, is the result of creatures misusing free will. This understanding is known as the free will defense. In brief, God does not control our decisions, but he gives us free will to choose contrary to what he wants, meaning we have the freedom to do evil. If so, what I freely do, or you freely do, is not up to God. Tragically, many have misused their free will to do evil, with horrible results. But God has good reasons for granting free will. For one thing, without it, love itself would be impossible among creatures. God is love, and the greatest value in the universe is love. So this is unthinkable. Free will, however, does not require that evil ever occur. If no creature ever rebelled against God's law of unselfish love, there would never have been any evil in the universe. Love only requires that creatures have that free will. God, then, is not the author of evil. God grants and respects free will even when creatures use it to do evil because it is necessary for the sake of love, which is the greatest value in the universe. God did not want any evil in his creation, but God allows creatures to exercise their free will to do evil because to do otherwise would exclude love itself. Evil is, then, alien to God's good creation. Evil is not the result of God's actions. It is the result of the actions of creatures who rebelled against God. But God doesn't just leave us to our bad decisions. He does everything he can to save everyone he can because he deeply loves us. This great love of God for us and his respect for our freedom are seen in one of Christ's most famous parables, known as the story of the prodigal son. In this story, an estate owner's younger son requests his inheritance early, implying that his father's death might be welcome. His father grants this request. Before long, the son has squandered his inheritance, and he is reduced to eating from the pig's trough, an unimaginable state for a Jew, considering the uncleanness of swine. But as he is doing so, the Bible says in Luke 15, verse 17, he came to his senses. He said, "How many of my father's hired men have more than enough bread? But I am dying here with hunger. I will get up and go to my father and will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired men.'" So he got up and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion for him and ran and embraced him and kissed him. This is an amazing picture of the love of the father for the prodigal son. He runs to his son. A lord running out to meet a visitor? This was not considered noble behavior at the time. And then the son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father said to his servants, "Quickly bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fattened calf, kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found." And they began to celebrate. Later, the father states to the other son, "We had to celebrate and rejoice, for this brother of yours was dead and has begun to live, and was lost and has been found." Notice the passionate and joyous love of the father for his prodigal son who returned. The son who had forfeited any right to his father's love and sympathy. This son had disowned his father and squandered his inheritance. But when the father saw his son, still a long way off, he felt compassion for him, and he ran and embraced him and kissed him. God is that father. Just as he can be deeply hurt when we turn away from him, he is overjoyed when we come to him, even from the pig trough. Even as the prodigal son had a choice, even now you have a choice. Will you accept God's love? If you do, God will fill you with his love so that you can overflow in love to others, bringing light and hope to the dark places in this world within your sphere of influence.